show.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson with you. And as I often do, even though we are now in the beginning of April, so many new listeners. I love it. Thank you guys for giving The Boundless Show a chance. And thanks for telling your friends. So to that end, let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up on the show even this week. So later on for our inbox, we have a listener who has noticed that sometimes when an adult that they know is sick, this person doesn't tell others. And it's kind of a way to maybe try and not worry their friends, or maybe there are other reasons. Is this a good or bad strategy? Because maybe they're like, hey, I might feel a little bit offended or left out. So one of our counselors is going to weigh in on that. And then for our culture segment, popular podcaster Janine Amapola is back with us to share about her new book, Becoming Happy and Healthy. Okay, if only it were that easy. So let's just be honest. I'm going to straight up ask her about that. But no, she's fantastic. And so this is actually going to be part one of a two-part conversation we're going to have with her. And the things that she's going to talk about this week include expectations, contentment, confidence in life, what it looks like as a young adult to really trust God with the season that you're in. And so we're excited to talk to her. Okay, here we are for our roundtable. And I've got a great gaggle of folks here, including our friend Caitlin, who's brand new to the show. Caitlin, so good to have you.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Woo woo. This is going to be fun. We have John, who's not new to the show, but we love welcoming him back because he's our producer. Hey, John.
Hello.
Awesome to have you. And Dakota, what is this? Time number two?
Time number two. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so you must not have failed colossally the first time. We're great to, you know, we're grateful to have you back. So that's awesome. So we're going to talk about today. This is kind of a weird question. Like, people are going to be like, this sounds kind of legalistic, but we're going to say, how often should I spend time with God? Okay, so the answer, if you're going to be like Jesus-ified, is like all the time, everyone. We should always spend time with God. But we're talking practically here. So what does this look like? Because I think we could easily tread into weird legalistic conversations about, are you more spiritual if you spend 30 minutes a day versus 25 minutes a day? Because, you know, should you really be going and getting that snack, or should you just stick it out and stay in the Word? Okay, it's going to get all weird. I'm going to make it weird, quite frankly, you guys, if it's not weird to begin with. So I think this is going to be a fun combo, because I actually have some thoughts on this too. So the first thing I want to ask you guys just generally is, like, what does this look like for you? Scripture reading, prayer, like actually, you know, what people call the spiritual disciplines. What does it look like for you on a weekly basis, per se? Like, let's go ahead and talk about that in general. So who wants to start?
Yeah, for me, it definitely is scripture reading. I was very blessed to come from a family that emphasized reading the Word on a daily basis from as long as I can remember. Both of my parents were reading the Bible on a daily basis, and they set a really good example for me. But when I was 11, I started doing a read through the Bible in a year program, and that changed my life completely. Mm-hmm. So I honestly am at a point where my soul can't handle it if I go through a day without reading the Word. I get too irritable without it.
Yeah, that is so good. And I want to mention this because I'll forget it if I don't say it now. I know a lot of people who do that in addition to reading or studies that they're working on and stuff, but an audio format. So whether that's Bible Recap, Daily Audio Bible, a lot of people do that. In fact, my friend does it going to bed each night because she's like, you know, it's a lot better than just me scrolling through Instagram or listening to random podcasts, like from, you know, crime podcasts or whatever. So she's found it to be really life-changing. And so that's a great way, like, however you can get that in. That's awesome. Dakota, how about you?
Yeah, you're asking on a weekly basis, right?
Yeah, so, just kind of in general, yeah.
I would say, I mean, I love the Bible app, and it reminds me daily to jump into the Word, the verse of the day. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great reminder, great encouragement. I see it sitting on my phone. I make sure it pops up, and I don't clear it until I've opened the app and actually dove into the Word and reach out to a friend if I have a question about it or want to dive deeper into what that passage may be saying. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking at weekly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I do scripture reading as well daily.
It depends on morning or night, but mm-hmm. I try and keep that pretty consistent. I also have like a 40-minute commute every day.
Wow.
So that's a great time for worship and just a time to pray over my day and my family and anything that comes to mind. So those are kind of my typical practices.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I think for me, it's interesting because I've often taken stock of how many different things I'm doing. And sometimes it can feel like I'm doing a lot of things, and are they all really good and focused and the things I should be doing? I mean, I could do easily like 5 different studies a week, but then I'm like, do I need to, you know, and am I putting any of this in practice? Am I meditating on the word, or am I just doing studies? So for me, it's been very freeing to kind of move into a, you know, it's going to look different often for me every day, whether or not I'm listening to a sermon, whether I'm reading. Sometimes it'll be an extensive time in the Word because of a certain study I'm doing. And so I've had to give myself that freedom because me growing up, and of course, I'm just ancient history compared to you youngsters, but it was extremely that era, like the 90s, you know, where it's like, if you're not doing this booklet like every day, and quite frankly, you better be getting up at 5 to do it, because otherwise, do you even love God? You know, it just got very rote and very calculated and everything. And I had to break free from that because I'm not my best that early in the morning. Okay. So like to Caitlin's point, sometimes it's in the morning. That's really when I prefer, but not at 5. Otherwise, maybe in the evening, or sometimes I'll take a break at lunch, you know, even during the workday, if I'm just like, I need to claim some truths here at work, y'all. Okay. Let's not kid ourselves. Sometimes we need that. So yeah, those are great insights from all of you. So has what you do or how you do it changed over time? I guess I kind of alluded to that with myself of kind of moving out of this, it has to look like this. But what have you found over time works for you, or how have you tweaked things in that way?
Yeah, I love that question. So I would, at the beginning of this, you were mentioning legalistic, just being so, I was so legal about waking up and making sure I read the Bible before I did anything else, before I even read any other article or saw any other piece of news. And then it got to a point where I'm just checking a box. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting into the Word. I wasn't really applying it to my life that day. And so once that, I knocked that off mm-hmm. and started saying like, Lord, reveal what you want to show me in your Word today, and started applying it throughout my day and speaking with other people in my life, that's when it really started taking full effect. Mm-hmm. And I saw it start doing other things in my life.
Yeah. That whole point of like bringing other people in is so good, because the minute I start discussing what I'm learning with other people, mm-hmm. that really makes it come alive. And all of a sudden I have legs on it, because mm-hmm. I'm like, how does this work for you? What does that look like? So yeah, that's a great point. John, how about you?
Yes, definitely. I remember in 2015, it definitely changed as far as methods go. I mean, to everything, there is a time and season that God can use. But I had mentioned earlier the read through the Bible in a year. And when I got to college, I actually started doing what I would call slower reading, where I would read one chapter a day. And this is more of what I do now. I read a chapter a day and I take notes on it. And that helps me a lot to really just process it. And also it gives me a reference point to go back on for, hey, what was I reading on this day? What was God saying to me in that particular passage? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of the moleskin mm-hmm. journals that you can buy at the store. So I use one of those now for when I read the Word. And I really just try to read it and digest it, because I find that if I'm reading too fast sometimes, just to your point, Dakota, if I'm reading it fast to check a box, then it's not as rich, versus if I'm just taking it in and saying, okay, Lord, how do you want to use this now? And then I'll just write something down. But yeah, I have to tell myself, don't rush it.
Yeah. Except for Leviticus. I feel like we need to give people a pass on Leviticus, because there's been a struggle for me sometimes with all the different ceremonial rites and the names.
All the blood and animal sacrifices.
Like everything. There's so much blood. I mean, are we really going into the blood again? It's just, yeah, it's a lot. So
I preached a sermon to middle school and high schoolers on Leviticus, and I look back and I'm like, why did I do that? But I think it turned out good. No, I love the idea, John, of slowing down. Something that I've been focusing on is, when I read a chapter, what's a prayer that I can pray specifically from that over myself over people in my life. But I've also had to learn to give myself grace as I'm navigating the different seasons. Like, even I went through a career change last summer, and that was just a whole different ballgame of, like, my schedule's changed, my energy level has changed throughout the day, and, like, how do I navigate what my time with the Lord looks like? Because I would get so frustrated, like, I don't feel like I've gotten anything good, it's not as rich. And the Lord was like, would you just slow down and see how I'm inviting you into this today? Like, it might not look the same. Mm-hmm. And I used to be super, like, spontaneous, let's see what the Lord has me to read today. And now I've shifted to this, I need routine. Like, I need a clear plan. I love waking up and praying the Lord's Prayer first thing in the morning, because it's just, I don't have to think about it. I just know it's there. And that's been so healthy for me in this season. And so I think it's good to just pause and say, what do I need in the season? And the Lord is so gracious enough to invite you into that space and say, it's okay for it to look different than it has in your past.
Well, and I think it's so helpful for you to say how, like, it's us. A lot of times we can approach this very one-dimensionally or one-directionally, where it's like, well, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to read. But remember, God actually wants to talk to us, whether it's through his word and through prayer. And so even that, for me, a posture that's really helped has been waking up in the morning and being like, okay, God, what do you have for me today? And to be open to pause, to pivot, to have margin in my life so I can be in conversations that God may have ordained, to spend some time praying for people that he places on my heart, to be like, I feel like we often, in some, you know, this may be some traditions more than others, but we downplay the role of the Holy Spirit of just actually working in conversations and being like, don't do that instead, or here's my priority for you today. And to just be like, it almost like brings a sense of excitement into your day of like, what is God going to do? Right. Where is he going to bring me? Good. How's this going to look? So I don't know. I mean, if y'all have experienced that in any way.
And how often do we go to the Lord with requests or another, hey, forgive me for this sin, or I would love to have this in my life. It's lacking here. Can you provide this? Instead of just, Lisa, like you were saying, sitting, listening, mm-hmm. and just waiting for the Spirit to move and not being so request heavy. Yeah. And so I have to catch myself sometimes in the middle of a prayer and be like, oh, I just need to wait, listen, and just be present. So
I'm just going to keep requesting and then just have God shut me up. I feel like it's too innate in me to be like, okay, you know, I love it how we, at least I can say, you know, okay, maybe that's my manifestation of I'm a child of God, because children just like tug on the pant leg and they're like, God, what about this? What about this? And then God's going to have to be like, okay, chill. I need you to actually just like enjoy me for a while. Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. I find many times if it's the Holy Spirit, I have to get really quiet, because as a very introspective personality, there's this saying that men can turn their brains off. I'm still trying with my personality to figure that out, because it is tough for me to turn my brain off sometimes. But I have found when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me is most of the time he'll usually ask me a question of something I hadn't thought of. Like, for example, if I want to be generous to somebody, something that the Holy Spirit has impressed on my heart has been, are you doing this out of selfish motives, or are you doing this because you genuinely want to bless somebody and you're expecting nothing in return?
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, let that sink in.
Yeah.
There is something so special about meeting God in the secret place. It honestly is that point of stability, mm-hmm. when you can just go to him in your prayer closet. And admittedly, that's something I'm trying to get better at, is listening for him. But yeah, spending time in the word and listening to him is a wonderful privilege.
Yeah. I think we have all probably been through seasons in life that were super hard. I mean, I know I've, you know, both of my parents are with Jesus. I've walked through really hard job transitions, different things that have gone on, my own, you know, like health challenges, whatever. And I think, like, sometimes I just wonder, how can people without Jesus even tolerate the day-to-day? Or, I mean, especially the valleys. I mean, when we walk through seasons that are so, so rough. I remember in this season, and I've mentioned this before on the show, when I was caregiving for my mom, there were times where I would just be in the car and I would have to just like plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, it was like so hard. I felt so alone in it. It was just very much, it was exhausting. I was just like, is this, how many more years am I doing this, you know, but mom, I love you, but this is super hard. And so what would you say, like, What does it look like for you to, for God to show up in a season that's really a valley for you? And how have you grown through that specifically, whether through his word or through, you know, fellowshipping with other believers, through prayer? Do you have any memories around that?
I would say something that comes to my mind is I was walking through a hard season of leadership, and the Lord first began to reveal things to me through my dreams, and then that took on, like, okay, I need to study the Word and see what the Word has to compare to this, and then I'm going to take it to other believers and see how they have walked through similar situations. And so it just became a beautiful time of weaving together all of these different practices and communities to see really where the Lord was speaking through all of that. And looking back, it was one of the greatest times of peace, even though it was one of my greatest struggles, because I felt so near. And because I took the time to slow down and seek him out in different ways than I usually would have. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
I remember after my mother passed away, there was a lot of space to listen to worship music because it was around the time of the pandemic. Mm. And something that God taught me through that time is, we talk about the peace of God and how rich it is. Philippians 4 is my favorite passage on that particular topic. And I realized through that, the peace of God is not just a great feeling that brings us stability. It's literally something we need, mm-hmm. just as much as we need oxygen.
Yeah.
And listening to worship music helped me really to set my mind on him, mm-hmm. and to know that, hey, my mother was in heaven. I can worship him now. And he gave me that promise. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And in those moments was really just a beautiful time to be able to reflect on that and to feel that he was near.
Mm-hmm. I would say a time for me was when I was back in New Zealand and God gave me the opportunity. I was living out of a van by choice. traveling.
All of our New Zealand listeners are like, how come you didn't stop by my place? What a,
you know. I'll come back.
Okay.
I'll come back and visit.
Dakota Anderson. He'll be in touch.
And I was sitting in the back of the van one night, and there's a makeshift bed back there, and I'd shut the curtains to go to bed for the evening, and I just broke down, and I was just so alone. And I had put myself there, but on the other hand, I was alone in not knowing what the future held and where the Lord was leading me and where to go next. And I had all these questions, and I just broke down and opened up to the Lord and asked him, you know, what's next, Lord? What should I be doing? And I just want to honor you. And those questions were answered eventually, mm-hmm. but I had to stay in that for a few weeks, a few months as I traveled the country, and it's a beautiful country, by the way. but while I was there, I just had those questions going through my, and Joshua 1:9, mm-hmm. Be strong and courageous mm-hmm. in the Lord. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. It's just such an encouraging verse during those couple of months, and sticks with me now.
Yeah. Well, and I think of that too, in light of, you know, we were just talking about, like, man, when life gets hard, it's the whole, like, strengthening that spiritual muscle and filling yourself with God's word, not only for the good seasons, but then when a rough season comes, all of that will come back to you. I mean, that is like, that's just money in the bank for you spiritually, for what you're gonna call on and pull on, which is why, you know, I think this whole nonsense of people, and I'm just gonna say it, y'all, okay, because some of you do this with Boundless. It's like, you can't just jump on someone's social feed and grab a meme that has like a random verse or a little snippet of something and be like, I'm good. Okay, I'm good. You might be good for like 30 seconds, but let's just talk about like what's going to happen in about an hour or two when your boss like gets mad at you or whatever's going on. Your girlfriend breaks up with you. Okay, let's just be honest. So that's where I think it's so important. And to that end, I would love you guys to talk about, first of all, what is something in your life, like let's even talk in the last 5 years, where you have actually seen God move the needle in your life on something, some personal area of growth, some, you know, faith element in your life, just something growing towards maturity that you've seen because of your investment in God's word. And what would be, I'm going to ask a two-parter here, so keep this in mind, pay attention. And then what would be your encouragement to others who are just like, I don't feel that, I don't have that, I don't know, where can I get, what can I do to get started?
I think back on, actually, end of last year, this is why it is so important for me to be spending time with the Lord, because if I had not been spending time with him, I probably wouldn't would not have gotten convicted of what I'm about to share. But I remember end of last year, I was still dealing with a lot of trauma from my mom's passing to a point that internally I was carrying a lot of weight that I didn't need to carry. I was carrying a lot of negativity towards other people and frankly, a lot of cynicism. And finally, the Lord had to really just convict me and say, John, if you don't deal with the disappointment you're facing with now, you're going to start taking out your trauma on people who don't deserve it. And I had to have a conversation with a friend of mine and just tell him, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening in my heart, because we had some similar stories. And he helped me out so much. He showed me so much compassion and just said, hey, I'm going to be praying for you in the days ahead. If you need help, give me a call. And slowly but surely, God has used that time, that moment of confession, to start rebuilding my sense of hope again. And that's why I look back on just times where I was in the Word, because even months before that, I could see times in the Word or when I was in prayer where God was convicting me, hey, you need to deal with this, just that small knock on my heart. But it finally got to a point where I was going to have to be disobedient if I didn't come out and confess. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, though, he's given me a new sense of hope that I haven't had for probably about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it's so neat that you mentioned that in light of just recently, like the beginning of last month, we published an article on cynicism at Boundless that for me, like even in reading it and editing it, I was like, this is so legit, and just a lot of the backstory that that the author gave on where that's sourced out of and why do we legitimize it in our culture and even in the church, like it's something, some badge of honor to be worn. That's so great. What a great learning. Yeah.
I think it was last year, my family started to walk through a really hard season, and I wanted to control the outcome. I was like, how can I make sure that it works out for my parents, and how do I protect my siblings, and how do I protect my heart and all of this? And it got to the point, I mean, I was praying and praying for what I wanted my outcome to be. And then the Lord just spoke to me and he's like, if you don't pause and surrender everything, even your hopes and your expectations of the outcome to me, you will break. And I just broke down in tears and I was like, I am so scared to give this up to you and to be fully surrendered in this to you, because in my head, I think I know that the best outcome is this. And so that's where all my prayers were directed. And then I finally got to a point where I was like, if this happens, I know you're still good. If this happens, I'm still going to trust you. If this happens, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. If this happens, I know you're the way, the truth, and the life. And so I'm going to rest my, like, all my confidence on that. It was so hard to be fully surrendered and open-handed to that, but it was so freeing at the same time. Like, oh, I don't have to be the one in control. I don't have to be the sovereign one that knows everything and is in charge of everything. And it's just a great reminder for me to go back to of this place of constant surrender. And so that's what I would encourage other people to do is, would you just pause for a minute? Would you just truly test your heart and see how you're opening your hands to him? And would you slow down and make space for him to speak to you? Even I think it's easy for us even to think, like in the hard times, we naturally tend to go close to God, right? And it's easier to sense his spirit and his prompting and his guidance. But then after you come out of that hard season and you're like, oh, life's good again, I'm good. And so to test your heart still in that good season, like, where do I need to surrender myself to you? Where do I need to slow down again? And how can I be seeking you out, even in the daily activities that I'm doing and sensing your Holy Spirit, so that we're not drifting through the good and the bad?
Yeah, such a good word.
I would say fear of man has been something I've gotten better with over time. And am I trying to please man or please the Lord? And that goes to Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Mm-hmm. That has been a huge verse with me combating that, because every day I think I struggle with it. It's like you were asking, Lisa, it's tipped more towards I have a healthier fear of the Lord and I need to continue working on that. And by studying the attributes of God, I am putting God in a position of that authority, that greatness, that holiness, that I'm not scared of my boss or scared of what my neighbor might think of me or meeting up with somebody in the grocery store with sweatpants on. But I can look, I can do that because I'm not fearful of what they may think or say. Yeah. And just having that healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah, so. No, that's great. Yeah, I would say one of mine is, and I'll just say kind of ditto a little bit to what Caitlin said, because for me, it's been the thing that I'm doing now a lot, I've gone a lot of my life with riding on a generally chill personality until things get crazy, and then I get crazy. And I realized in stepping back, I'm like, now my weekly exercise is thinking whenever something gets weird or I'm a little bit off kilter, I say, what am I fearing this week and what am I trying to control? And those are very closely tied. And that immediately drives maybe to some core lies that I'm believing. Maybe it drives to something where I'm trying to put something in the place of God or how that's playing out. And so that's just a great litmus test for me to ask those two questions and then say, okay, God, I clearly am trying to take control here. I'm trying to be you. So I need to sit back and start listening. And so, yeah, I think it's just a great practice all around. So you guys, thanks so much for this encouragement. I'm all encouraged. Okay. I mean, I think this is just great. We can learn from one another in this. So thanks so much for sharing, being transparent in that.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Folks, here we are for our culture segment. We are welcoming back a friend to The Boundless Show. I have got Janine Amapola with me. Janine, welcome back to The Boundless Show.
Thank you for having me again. It's an honor to be back. It's good to see you.
It's fun. It's good to see you. I'm looking at you on screen here with a very fun and feisty neon. I'm having flashbacks to like eighth grade for me, rocking out the late 80s, early 90s. So with some of the neon. So I appreciate it.
I had to bring it back. I mean, spring is here, and I was like, this is a fun color. Why not?
Spring is not quite here in Colorado. We are planning, as of this taping, to get dumped on tonight in snow. So we have to walk it out and wait it out. So we'll see. But maybe I'll pull something out like that coming up in the near future. Those of you who know Janine, you know that she's a speaker. She hosts her own podcast, the Happy and Healthy with Janine Amapola podcast. She's a content creator, very active on social, and an author. And actually, the book that we're talking about today, speaking of author, which the typeface is in my favorite color in the whole world, yellow, titled Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. And so that's pretty comprehensive. Man, you really hit all angles on this.
I tried, you know. I made the title specifically for you yellow because I knew you liked yellow. I was like, when I made it, I thought of you.
Well, that is good to know because I love it. And so I love it when people just own yellow. In fact, I will also mention, and we'll actually offer the book at the end of the show here, but the foreword is written by Maddie Pruitt-Trout, who we also have had on The Boundless Show. It's like the roundup of all of Janine's friends, I guess, just come on The Boundless Show eventually.
Thing.
So
yeah,
super fun.
Thank you for having me on, though. Yeah, but you are absolutely right. It is a very comprehensive book. And, you know, that was something when, you know, I was like, what do I want to write about? It was so hard for me to narrow it down because I really felt like God had transformed me in a multiple facet way. And it was really hard for me to pick one topic. And eventually I think I'll do that. But I really wanted to help people on their journey of overcoming struggles and sin and secrecy and poor habits and just navigating these difficult challenges that they're facing. And you maybe read another book and you're like, okay, what are the practical steps for me to do? Sometimes I read a book and I'm like, awesome. I get a lot of awesome pointers, but I don't know my next step. And that was really the goal of my book, was to provide practical, authentic, biblical advice for the common problems that people face. And I would say my heart is mainly for young adults, but this book really can be for anyone that is navigating dating or career or how to hear the voice of God. How do I take myself on adventures and how do I know the word of God more? And so I really tried to provide a easy, practical guide for anyone struggling through certain things in their life.
Yeah. Well, that's really fun. And one of the things I like about it is that you're not afraid to tell on yourself a little bit in the book. And I want
you to... Yeah, I tattle a little too much.
I want to back it up a little bit to 2019, to a trip that you went on where you kind of start out the story by describing that it was like a super low point for you. And you were invited to go on a trip that was a pretty wacky... I mean, speaking of young adults, there are a lot of young adults listening who are like, I would totally do that trip, okay? But tell us about how it transpired and why you felt you came back from that trip with a new resolve to do things differently.
Oh my gosh, yes, great question. So 2019, I had just gotten out of a really sad relationship that I thought was leading towards marriage. I had just gotten my heart broken. And in this exact same time frame, I felt the Lord was asking me to go deeper with Him. And so I was rediscovering my faith. I grew up a Christian, kind of walked away a little bit, came back. And so in this season, I was really asking the Lord, show me who You are. How do I know You? And I was still really struggling. I didn't really know God for myself quite yet, was still mixed up in a little bit of temptations and my old lifestyle. And I had two guy friends that randomly just called me one day and they were like, hey, get this, round trip tickets to Spain and Israel. You have to book the ticket tonight. And I had never done this in my life. I was like, are you kidding me? Tonight, I was in San Diego. I was like, I'm with my friends. I don't even have time to process this. And they just were like, trust me, this is going to be the best trip of your life. I went home, I looked at the tickets and I booked it. And I was like, you know what, God, stepping out in faith here, I believe You're going to do something in this. And the Lord did. And of course I went to Israel, the place that Jesus walked, the place that Jesus taught, the place that Jesus got baptized Himself. So just a miraculous city in itself. And really what transformed me there was seeing the way that Christians lived. And the group that I went with was all a bunch of people that loved Jesus, loved His word, loved community, loved accountability. The way I saw them displayed the fruit of the Spirit. They would go to people, they would pray for strangers, they would pray for each other, we would crack open the Bible together. And the questions they asked me, I realized on this trip that I was not known by anybody. And I think that at the end of the day, everybody really wants to be known. And I didn't have anyone in my life asking me deep questions, really knowing me and helping me get out of the pit that I was in. And so these people came around me and I remember beginning to feel these feelings that I had not felt before. I had felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in a really long time. And I decided after seeing the way that these people lived, I was like, I do not want to live my life the way I'm living it any longer. It was a very disappointing life and it was very hypocritical. And so I had already decided, I told God I wanted to know You more. And so I decided there to get baptized in the Jordan River. And I basically told God after the week-long trip, I said, God, I am going all in. I'm no longer going my way. I see that You're worth it. And I just encountered His presence in such a real way there and decided, this is so worth it. I will leave my old crusty life behind and I will follow You, God, because You are worth it. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so great. And it's an example of two things. One, how God will always show up when we ask Him to. And He's, you know, it's not that He's running away from us or He's distant. It's that we have chosen not to turn our faces to Him. And so that's a great lesson right there. But also the lesson in the power of community. And if you're in a funk or you're someone who's wandered away from the Lord or you have questions or whatever, the best people to be around are the people who are chasing hard after God and who are in His word and who are going to bolster you and encourage you and instruct you and quite frankly, maybe rebuke you about a few things going on. And so that's just a great illustration of like how both of those things working in tandem really ended up being a great thing for you at that season. So that's amazing. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And I do think that God speaks to us so much through His people. I think a lot of times we expect God to speak in this very similar way than a friend or your parent. And you're asking God, why aren't You speaking to me? Why don't I hear from You the way that my dad does or my best friend does? And I just feel like God speaks to us in a multitude of ways. And for me, it was people. I think that was the number one thing I was strongly lacking, was a strong community in my life. And so getting these people around me was finally when I was like, oh my gosh, seeing the contrast of my life versus theirs, I was like, I'm clearly missing something, which is why I think, you know, there's that saying that says, your life is a better sermon than your lips. these people just lived it out. They showed me God's love and it made me want what they had. And so I'm just so thankful for community in my life and encourage anyone listening to really, really try to pray about that and seek that out and be the friend that you're also looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things that you really hit in the book, and again, we're talking about Becoming Happy and Healthy by Janine Amapola, is the whole idea of expectations. And this is a huge theme for young adults, whether in college, 20s, 30s, because I think we have this idea, and maybe some of us got it from our parents or our grandparents, that you just start on this path and it's very linear and it should be relatively easy if you just do all the right things and you'll chase the American dream or whatever that looks like. And then 20-something, you know, especially millennials and Gen Z now are just like, I feel like I was promised that and none of that has happened. Yeah. And so talk a little bit about, because you have an example very much from your 20s of friends getting engaged and you're kind of looking on from the sidelines. I mean, just what, when you look at maybe your early 20s, what, had you mapped certain things out? Did you have plans and how has God disrupted them? And what have you learned from that?
Yes. So I feel like in my younger 20s, I basically told myself, okay, I'm going to be married at 25. I'm going to have kids at 26. I'm going to have my second kid. And I had this exact formula of the way that life was going to go. And I was sitting there trying to tell God, okay, God, no, this is how I want my life to go. Not God, how do you want my life to go? And not only that, I think America puts this pressure from society to go to high school, then you go to college, then you graduate, and then you get a job, and then you get married, and then you have kids. And it's a very rigid timeline where there's no flexibility. It's like, what if I decided not to go to college? What if I decided to wait to get married? And I think a lot of people look down upon you if you choose to do a different route or a different path. And even in my own career, I chose to not go straight to a 9-to-5 job. I chose straight to go into social media after college. And many people thought that was really weird. And so I think oftentimes we tell God and we demand things from God. And when we don't get them the way and when we want to get them, we become dissatisfied and disappointed. And we point fingers at God like, this is your fault. You did this. And meanwhile, God all along is like, hey, I have more for you. I have better for you. Trust me, if I wanted you to have it, you would have it. And so I remember with marriage specifically, I talk about this in the book. I was living with my best friend, Maddie, who wrote the foreword, and she got engaged a month after I got dumped. And it was the worst season ever. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 28. I'm actually 28 and a half. I'm about to be single probably for another 2+ years. I really thought that I would be, you know, married in my upper 30s or late 30s or whatever, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when society puts a timeline on you of when to get married and how to get married and who to marry, of course you're going to be disappointed. And so I cried out to God and I was like, God, this is not what I wanted. I'm so disappointed. And I just demanded God, give me this when I want it. And until I finally released that and said, God, you are the beholder of time. You are the one that knows my future. You have hopes and plans for me to prosper me and not to harm me. I'm going to trust you is when everything just started to settle in and fall into place. And so I think the more that we can release this control of a perfect timeline or comparing our timelines and our journeys to our friends and our peers, the easier and better it's going to be because all of us really are on our own journey and timeline with the Lord. And I just always try to remind people, I'm like, according to whom are you falling behind? Because if you compare yourself to society's timelines, you'll always be too early or too late or too this or too that. But if you just compare it to the timeline that God has for you, which is perfect and on his perfect timing, you'll forever be on time.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I mean, I like how you put that hand in hand with, I know you talk about this too in the book, the idea of contentment, because if we really are trusting God with our timeline and ultimately the expectations that we have and being willing to set them aside, we can exercise the muscle of contentment, which is a hard one because again, we see I mean, I'm just cracking up. I can imagine, you know, you going into social media and everyone older in your life, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, they're probably like, that is not a career. That is not, you need
to. Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, that is not for real. Okay, that's not what we pay for college for. That's not what you do, okay? You need something stable. You need something consistent and all that. So I hear you with that. And that's a big step to take and a lot of faith required. But talk then about how, in the midst of all those ups and downs, how you do lean into God with a sense of contentment and you're able to wait open-handedly. I mean, because you did a number of, I mean, you were out in California for a season. I mean, you had to pray and decide, is this where I'm going to be for a while? What am I doing? I mean, it's so easy for us to try to manufacture stuff and say, okay, well, if I see the shape of Texas on a billboard in the next 3 days, that means I'm supposed to move back. You know, we do all these weird voodoo tricks and stuff when sometimes God's just saying rest. So do you remember what was going through your mind and heart at the time?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. It's so funny. I remember the same thing. I would be like, am I supposed to marry this man? If I'm supposed to marry him, put his name on a billboard. And then like his name would be on a street sign. I'm like, it's a sign. And then he broke my heart like a month later. And I was like, sick. So yeah, I do have an entire chapter where I talk about how to hear the voice of God and how to make decisions. And I think the number one thing I try to recommend people to do is just wait. I think a lot of us want to impulse make decisions because we're afraid we're going to lose it or it's going to run away from us or whatever. We want to control again. I think a lot of this stems from control. And I think if you wait, God will bless it. He will show you in due time. And wait and pray. And I love what you mentioned earlier because I talk about this a lot, to wait expectantly, but wait also open-handedly. Wait that, you know, God, I believe you have something for me, but if it's not this thing, it's something better. And so you leave your hands open to say, if it's not this man, it's a different man. If it's not this opportunity or this job, it's a different one. It might be a better one. And so I think not getting too attached to the outcome or the thing that you're waiting for so that you don't get heartbroken if it's gone. And allowing God to speak to you in that waiting season. I think God will bring people, he'll bring verses, he'll bring peace, he'll bring dreams, he'll bring all sorts of confirmations to you where you're like, I cannot deny this. And so for me, when it was deciding to move back to Dallas or stay in California, it was almost like I could not deny it. As much as I wanted to stay in California, God showed so many different ways where I was just like, okay, God, I'm listening. I hear you. I can't even deny this anymore. And I just felt so much peace. And it was the best decision I ever made because I met my now husband moving back to Dallas. And so I really think waiting on the Lord is so important. And remembering the verse that I think it's in Psalms 34:18, where it says that those that seek the Lord lack no good thing. So as you seek him and you remember, as I seek him, God's not going to have me lack a good thing if I was not meant to have it or if I was meant to have it. So if I do not have this thing, I lack no good thing because God would give it to me if the timing was right, if I was meant to have this. Or maybe God's not giving it to me right now because I don't know how to steward this quite yet. Or if I do take it, it's premature and I won't know how to maintain that. And so just trusting God's timing and that what he does give you and doesn't give you is according to his perfect plan and purpose.
Mm-hmm. I often say that to listeners, the idea around singleness and hoping for a husband, for example. You know, with me, I've always told people, just because God has given my friend a husband doesn't mean that he's lacking in resources. He's not denying me one because he has to give her one. So he's not like looking around saying, you know, well, I found someone for everyone else, but Lisa, she's my toughest case. I can't find anyone for her, you know, and God's just not like that. He's not withholding. He's not limited in his resources. He knows the big scope of everything. And so we really can trust him because like you said, if there's something that we don't have that we think we need or we definitely want, just hang in there. God knows what's up. And ultimately for us to wait and be content with waiting is a good place to be. So that's good. Yeah. All right. Amen. Well, I also want you to hit on in our last couple minutes here, the concept of confidence, because I think this plays into everything that a young adult has to experience in moving into maturity on a number of fronts. I mean, we could talk about this in terms of career. We could talk about it in terms of friendships. We could talk about it in terms of dating. And you have some pretty interesting insights on that of the source of confidence and where that comes from, including some of your own struggles to be confident in that space. So why did you choose to include this piece in the book?
I chose to include it because I feel like I know so many young adults that strongly dislike themselves. They strongly are doing anything they can to fit in or conform or change and chase the ever changing standards or beauty standards or whatever. And that was me. And it's not to say that you can't dye your hair or you can't buy your favorite dress or whatever. I think those are not the things I'm necessarily talking about. But I think I've always tried to address in this book that God has to be your foundation. You have to ask yourself, God, why did you make me like this? Why am I like this? And accept who God made you to be, because I really talk about in this chapter that God didn't make mistakes on you. And I think a lot of the times why we try to change ourselves or our identities or our sexuality is because we don't believe that who God made us to be is good enough. And especially when this comes into comparison, I think we become very aware of this when we look to the left and to the right of why does she look like that? And she has that nose and she has this hair and I don't have that. And so that comparison is just really what kills our own unique identity and purpose that God has given us. And so it was a really big part of my story. I grew up half German, half Guatemalan, and I really disliked my skin color and my hair color. And God, why did you make me look like this? And so as I got older and I realized, God, you are a perfect God that made me uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made, I leaned into that instead of trying to run away from that. And from there, everything just flowed. Everything was better. I really found freedom in believing in who God said I was. And so I really hope that everyone else finds that. And I talk more about that in the chapter of helping people overcome that. But identity is everything. And it really does affect the way we see ourselves and in everything else that we do.
Mm-hmm. So true. And just realizing that, you know, they're the substance of character and experiencing new things and loving other people and being, I mean, that builds a, not only a self-worth, but something that other people will see that is a much stronger sense of yourself than chasing the latest trend or the latest, you know, trying to be someone else. And I think too many of us learn that too late in life, you know, when really, Man, if we just start being ourselves and building our character and loving other people, I mean, that is attractive. People want to be around people who are encouragers and who are about something bigger than themselves.
Right. And I also believe that a confident person goes and blesses other people to help them become confident. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times if you are feeling insecure, you're feeling unconfident, you'll go into environments and rooms asking and like subconsciously seeking for affirmation and attention. And instead you don't go into a room saying, who can I bless here? Who can I compliment? You go instead being like, affirm me, tell me I'm pretty, please make me feel loved. And so it's really got to come from Christ so that you don't go into places looking for a false affirmation that's fleeting. And I want us to be people that radiate God's joy, radiate God's love to where we walk in a room and people are like, man, you are so beautiful. You're smiling today. Your skin is glowing. What is it about you? How are you like this? And you point it back to Christ and bless other people in the process of helping them to become confident.
Absolutely. Well, there are a few more things that we have to tackle. So I have to ask you, are you willing to come back next week so we can continue the conversation?
Absolutely. Sign me up.
Okay, we'll do it. Next week, we're going to start by talking about habits. And I'm going to make Janine tell on herself yet again in this realm. So be ready for that. You'll have to show up again next week. In the meantime, I want to let you know that this book that we've been talking about, Janine's new book, Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About, is available from us this week at Boundless for a gift of any amount to Boundless. So if you go to boundless.org, you can search for 844. That's this week's episode. You'll see the book cover there. You just click on it. You give a gift to Boundless. Some of you give regularly, and some of you wait for these kind of offers so that you can get a great resource. But you just do that, and we will send a copy of Janine's book to you as our thank you to you so you can make that happen. So again, Janine, thanks so much for being part of this.
Thank you for having me on, and I truly pray this book blesses everybody out there. Thank you, guys.
My heart knows you are. You're constantly right here, always near. I've crashed so many
right, folks, we are finishing up the show with our third segment, which is our inbox, where we answer one of your questions. We have our fantastic counselor, Tim Sanford, today. Hey, Tim.
Good to be back, Lisa.
Always great to have you. So this is really an interesting question that we have today, and it treads into a number of things, including like theology, relational dynamics, a lot of stuff. So we're going to let you take a stab at it. Our listener is asking, when it comes to adults being sick, so many of them keep it to themselves as to not worry their family members or friends. Is that really the right thing to do, or should people be honest about what is really going on?
And there's several things that come to mind here, Lisa, because it's from different angles. First thing is, realize that people always do things for reasons. Mm-hmm. That's part of our human nature. We always do things for reasons. So try to determine or figure out, what's the reason behind why they're not telling me? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be several things. It could be that they're trying to be tough and pretend that they're really strong and they're faking it. It could be that they secretly hope you ask them so they can tell you and get your attention. It could also be that they're just embarrassed and don't want any attention, or sometimes you don't really need to know. Mm-hmm. So there's always a reason behind what they're doing. So it's not so much the what is being kept from you, but why it's being kept. So that's one part. Second part is the difference between secrets, which are bad, confidentiality, and gossip. Hmm. So let me just real quickly. Secrets are when the people who need to know don't know. Hmm. So this is a made-up example. I'm not doing it for real. Let's say I had 3 weeks to live. Mm-hmm. My wife, my adult children, they need to know. Mm-hmm. And my boss needs to know too, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody at the grocery store, everybody on social media, they don't need to know. Mm-hmm. If I keep it a secret, I'm not telling the people who need to know. Mm. So that's secrets. Confidentiality then, in contrast, is when the people who need to know, they know, like my wife and my daughters, and the rest of the world doesn't. Back to the grocery store example, okay? And then gossip is when the people who don't need to know, i.e. social media. And then the third part here is that information really needed and helpful and beneficial? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So with these three principles, it's important to realize, though, that I can be honest. If I'm the person that you're wondering about, I can be honest and authentic and still not tell you everything. Mm-hmm. So the questions are here. Maybe there's a good reason why I'm not telling you. Maybe not, but maybe, legitimately. Maybe you don't really need to know. You want to know, but you don't really need to know. And then thirdly, is it really helpful if you do know? Again, the TMI, too much information, which mm-hmm. we're saturated with nowadays. So that's kind of the piece there with trying to understand why they aren't telling me that information. So a great question, and I would turn the question then to the listener that wrote this in. What's your reason why you want to know? I mean, why do you want to know this information? You may have a really good reason. Okay, good. It may just be like you like to be in the know, I like to be in the know. What's your reason for knowing it? And then second of all, when they don't tell you, do you take it personally or not? Because maybe it's not about you at all.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because I was just thinking about scenarios where, you know, we've had them here, you know, Focus on the Family, which Boundless is part of, you know, our parent organization, the Daily Broadcast, people who share testimonies of God working in their lives and their families through illness and whatever. So there are, I feel like there are legitimate reasons sometimes of like letting people enter into your suffering, which is biblical, and allowing people to, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I think there's applicability there. So I would also ask, you know, the person who is ailing, whether it's something terminal or not, you know, to maybe consider not only thinking of selfish reasons,
yes.
though I totally agree with your point of like, ultimately, it is this person's choice, and we can't control people to give us the information that they don't want to give and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it is interesting to think, you know, with sensitivity and compassion here of like, are there people who, you know, your wife and your daughters who really would, it would bless them to be part of this story with you and to walk that road with you. And so I think it's good to have balance in that and think that through.
And for this person to think through, wait a minute, more than just look at it from one direction, what's some other possibilities of what's going on? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's more to the story than I know. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it makes sense that they would tell me, maybe they're going to, but there's some other pieces that need to be in place first. So that's where I don't want to jump to conclusions. And at the same time, there is a legitimate piece of there are some people who do need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. For example, if you have cancer or whatever, and I'm your doctor, you better tell me. I need to know. Okay. Right. If yeah. I'm a family member, I need to know.
Yeah.
You may not want to bother me. This isn't about bother. It's about legitimately who are those key people that really do need to know, and then tell them, let them walk with you through this.
Yeah, great point. So thank you for weighing in on that. Well, folks, as always, we do want to hear from you. If you write to us at editor@boundless.org, we can answer your question on a future show. And of course, if you go to boundless.org, you can search our archive of questions from the past, and it could be that we've even answered your question in some previous episode. And so in the meantime, I will see you around next week. I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of boundless.org from Focus on the Family.
God wants true disciples, ones that think like Him, talk like Him, walk like Him, disciples that bring shalom to the chaos of this world. Pursue that path with the RVL Discipleship Series. Bible scholar Ray Vanderlaan will give you the tools to understand the Bible more deeply and inspire you to be a passionate follower of Christ. Watch the first episode at rvldiscipleship.com.